Please read along with me as I read John 10, 1 through 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." You may be seated.
Okay, we're going to start this morning with a little back and forth. How many here grew up on a farm? Grew up on a farm? Okay. Anybody grow up on a ranch? Ranch. It's not ranching country, is it? Okay. Anybody here raise any sheep? One. Yes. Okay, we've got at least one expert. So you won't mind if we consult you as we're in this message. Yeah. Now, I haven't been here in Kuching County very long, but I can say Kuching, which is not bad. I think that's pretty good, don't you? And I do know that sheep are not a big deal around here. I actually checked it out, went on the web. There's only a few flocks of sheep in the whole county. Lumber, that's a big deal around here. Fish, big deal around here, but not sheep. However, the Bible talks a lot about sheep and shepherds. And today in John 10, as we get back into our encounters with Jesus, Jesus teaches some important lessons that we can learn from shepherds and sheep. The setting, John 10, it was the Feast of Dedication, or Hanukkah. Now, Hanukkah was celebrated in winter during the Jewish month of Kislev. That's kind of November to December. So in our calendar, just a month or two ago, the main courtyard of the temple was kind of surrounded by these massive colonnades on all four sides, which were open to the inner court itself, but protected with walls facing the outside. In winter, this allowed the teachers to use these porches as a shelter against the cold weather. Now, they didn't really have cold weather compared to what we have, but it would be a protection for them, and so they could teach, which is what Jesus did. And he was walking there one day when suddenly people who had heard him before, they just kind of started to gather from all over. And around Jesus were pens of sheep. And in language that all could understand, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Now, the shepherd imagery was important because it had a direct tie to Hanukkah. Every year when the Jews celebrated Hanukkah, they revisited those horrible days of the corruption of the temple priesthood and the desecration of the temple by the Greeks and its necessary rededication under Judas Maccabeus. It was during the intertestamental period. As opposed to the false shepherds of Israel, Jesus said he was the good shepherd. So this morning we're going to talk about why we can be thankful to have Jesus as our shepherd. So please pull out your outlines. Turn to John 10, where we discover that the shepherd saves the sheep. The shepherd saves the sheep. John 10, 7 to 9. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Then in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. At night in the desert, sheep were often herded into walled enclosures that either backed up against a cliff face or it was at the end of a canyon. Such enclosures, the enclosures were probably waist high, just big rocks that were piled on top of each other, and then they took some thorny branches and they put on top of that. And the reason was that was the place where the sheep would be safe and not be attacked by the wild animals. And there was one very small opening, a doorway, if you will, in the wall, and it was the only way in, and it was the only way out. Now, the shepherd would either close this area with dry thorn bushes, or he himself would serve as the gate to the opening. And so Jesus was painting a word picture. It was a word picture of a flock that was under attack, a flock in danger, perhaps the flock in a sheepfold at night, shuddering in fear as they hear the animals, the wild animals approaching. Maybe it was the howls, maybe it was the growls, maybe it was them licking their chops. But they wanted to get in there and get the sheep. But the shepherd was standing firm at the gate. He was using stones and staff, unwilling to sacrifice even one of his animals to satisfy the attacker. And the main point that Jesus wanted to get across was that his role as a shepherd meant that he would do anything to protect his sheep. He loved them so much, he was willing to come between his flock and danger. He was willing to die for them. You know, as we think about that point, you know, as sheep, we need a savior, don't we? A defender, a protector, because we have a very real enemy. Peter tells us, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You need to know that the devil will do anything he can to distract us, to discourage us, to defeat us, and ultimately to destroy us. We need to be saved from the devil who wants to destroy us. We need to be saved from the sin in our life that separates us from a holy and loving God. We need to be saved from our own guilt and shame that lock us into a life of defeat. We need to be saved from our own selfish attitudes and destructive habits. I mean, there's a lot of things that we need to be saved from. And make no mistake about it, every person in this world needs to be saved, because every person in this world is a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death, spiritual separation from God. You know, I think I've told a little of my story, but I do remember that November afternoon in Seattle, Washington, when I was saved. It was getting dark late in the afternoon as I was laying on my bed in my dorm room, and I felt like a lost sheep wandering in the wilderness. Now, you have to understand where that dorm was. I was at Bible school, which is a good thing. The bad thing was I didn't necessarily want to be at Bible school. It was one of those deals where I ended up there because what else did I want to do, or where else did I want to go? And my parents said, why don't you go to Bible school? Parents do that kind of thing, don't they? And so it was, like I said, it was a good place to be. But here I was at an important point in my life as a young man. Supposedly the world was before me. But I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue about what I was supposed to do with my life. Oh, I did know there was a God. I did know that Jesus Christ had come to die on a cross to save me from my sins and to give me eternal life. You see, I had heard that all my life. I heard that growing up in my home, in the church, in Bible camp. But to be honest, at this point in my life, sin looked a lot more desirable than surrendering my life to a Savior. I wanted to be in control of my life, which I discovered was just plain stupid. I would put it this way. Basically, I was like trying to steer a logging truck down a steep mountain road with no brakes. I mean, you can do that for a while, but it's not going to end well. So that afternoon was my come to Jesus moment. Now, there were no bells or whistles or thunder or lightning or anything like that, but the moment I asked Jesus to forgive my sins, the moment I finally surrendered and said, Jesus, come into my life. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. I need you to be my Savior and Lord. I felt this wave of peace just kind of wash over me. And although I still didn't have a clue about my future, now I knew who held the future in his very capable and loving hands. And I was going to be okay. And when you've been saved, you know it. You know deep down in your heart, you know that you know that you know that you are a child of God. And it's the beginning of a whole new life, not a perfect life, but a whole new life and a fresh start. The Bible says, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And it's only Jesus who can save us from the enemy and can save us from ourselves, which is why he came to earth and laid down his life on a cross. He is the good shepherd who gave up his life for us, and we're going to be celebrating that in just a few minutes at the table. We also see something else here. Jesus, as the shepherd, leads the sheep. He leads the sheep. John 10, 3 and 4. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. It's interesting when you understand some of the culture of that part of the world, but the Middle Eastern shepherd is well known for having a personal relationship with his sheep. He talks to them, and he sings to them. Often shepherds will carry a short flute, and they'll use a repeated tune so that the flock has a consistent cue to follow. Jesus said that he did not simply lead any sheep, but rather led his own. Just as Arab shepherds today can separate personal sheep from larger flocks by using distinct calls, so Jesus knows his own sheep. They recognize his voice, and they follow him. Now, please note that this shepherd, he doesn't drive his sheep. He doesn't beat the sheep. He's out in front. He's leading the way at just the right pace and over appropriate terrain. He nurtures and he cares for the sheep. He leads them to green pastures. And you'll notice in Psalm 23, in quiet waters. You know what quiet waters are? It's not a rushing mountain stream where a sheep could go to drink and could fall in and drown. But it's like a little pond or a lake where they're safe and they can drink. But what a wonderful image when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, our shepherd. He knows us by name. When someone calls our name, we notice, don't we? If I were to call your name this morning, you would notice your head would just come jumping up. What? Because that's your name. You know, a name is something special. I was reminded of that this last Friday when my grandkids, they're living down in New Mexico, and I don't know how it happened, but whatever, they were looking for a dog, and they went to an animal shelter. I'm not sure how they got there, but they did, and they picked out a dog. And so when they found the one they were looking for, my oldest grandson, he's 8, just going to turn 9, he named her Emma. Now we said, Luke, why did you use the name Emma? And this was his answer. Well, I don't know, the name just came to me. Okay, I guess you can do that. So now instead of calling, here, puppy, 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 or hey, you, it's come here, Emma. It's something personal, okay? Well, Jesus wants his relationship with us to be personal. We are more than a number to him. Isn't that great? I mean, if you thought about Jesus, if he were to walk in here and he looked at you and said, hey, you, come here. That just wouldn't be quite the same, would it? As calling you by name. You're not just one of many people in a crowd. He knows everything about us. He knows that as sheep, we can be dumb and stubborn and obstinate. Have you ever noticed that? Why don't you turn to the person next to you and tell them, I can be dumb and stubborn and obstinate. Go ahead. So what did they say? You sure can? Or what? I'm not sure how that goes. It's about time. You see, we prefer to follow our own desires, to turn to our own ways. And Jesus knows that. But he still loves us. He doesn't give up on us. He wants us to know him by name. And his name is Jesus. And it's a name that's above every name. Philippians says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Jesus is our shepherd, and we have the privilege to talk to him and listen to him through God's word and prayer. And when we do this often, we begin to recognize his voice. We ask for wisdom and guidance in our lives. He gives it to us. He gives it to us. Just the other day, I was in a situation where I was praying with somebody, but they just couldn't communicate or talk to me. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, I need help here. I need wisdom. And he gave it to me. And I saw a name and I saw a phone number. This was in a hospital setting. And a family member that I felt I needed to talk to get the fuller picture. And I did. And it turned out to be a really good situation. But ask. Ask for wisdom. And he promises to give it to us. Jesus wants us to know the plan he has for us. For us as individuals, as couples and families, for us as a church family. He wants us to follow him, but not where we might expect or prefer. We may be willing to follow Jesus if it means comfort and peace and prosperity and safety, and ultimately heaven. But while Jesus is leading us to heaven, there are many stops along the way before we get there. There's much to do here on earth. And so he's inviting us to join him in making a positive difference in this world. Mark 1:17, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Wow, did you hear that? Fishing. You guys understand fishing? There are lost people who need to be caught in Cochise County. Outreach should always be a priority here at I Falls Covenant for the people who are living around us and for people who are living around us in this world. That's why there's a missions conference here. That's why people take mission trips. That's why we give to missions. There are hurting people who need to be helped and hungry people who need to be fed. And we can do this through hands-on compassion, like Community Cafe and other things, or giving to Covenant World Relief. But the shepherd leads the sheep. The question is, are we following? And how close are we following? And are we willing to follow when it means it's outside our comfort zone? Good question. And there's one more thing I want you to know about this shepherd. The shepherd gives life to the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and out, in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Again, I think the image here is of a flock of sheep in a threatening desert wilderness situation. Food and water are scarce. Predators are everywhere, and they know that sheep are vulnerable. However, the good shepherd knows how to care for his sheep. His sheep are well-fed sheep, whose shepherd knows how to lead them to pasture and water daily, who at night gives them safe rest within the sturdy walls of a sheepfold. These are sheep who flourish and are content thanks to the skill and love of the shepherd. Why don't you read this together with me, Psalm 23:1. Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. How much do we have? All that I need. Didn't say greed, said need. Yeah. It's talking about a quality of life. It's an abundant, full, rich, satisfying life. And what's ironic about this kind of life is the world just doesn't get it. The truth is, sometimes we just don't get it. We think we can have a great life when we go after everything that's supposed to make us happy, that we are told will make us happy. And that's going to happen today in a big way. Anybody here going to watch a Super Bowl? I just know that advertisements in the Super Bowl are a big deal. A 30-second spot during the Super Bowl will cost a business over $5 million. 30-second spot. So when you put all those together, you do the math. It's a lot of money. Things like money and possessions and recognition and status and pleasure and sex, and it's telling us, you can't live without these things. That's what we're being told all the time. And so life becomes self-satisfying, self-centered. And as a result, we find ourselves living in the desert of broken relationships, the desert of meaningless possessions, the desert of a wasted life with nothing to look forward to. But that's not the kind of life that Jesus wants for us. Jesus said that he wants us to experience a full life, a life filled up to all the fullness of God. There's that all again. A life full of love and joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. A great life does not begin with something outside of us. It begins with the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And as a result, as we surrender to God's Spirit so that he can have full control over our hearts and minds, resulting in godly character, a life focused on serving God and loving people, a truly significant life. And only Jesus can give us that kind of life. He promises to all of his followers a great life now and an amazing life in the new heaven and the new earth. John 10, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. The word snatch refers to violence, and it's used in John 6:15 for the crowds who wanted to kidnap Jesus and make him their king. In John 10:12, it describes the attack of the wolf. You guys understand wolves up here. But my friends, as we look at this, can we be honest here today? We live in a broken world. A broken world is a violent world. And violence can cause us to fear. However, as God's people under the care of our good shepherd, we do not have to live in fear. We do not have to be overwhelmed by fear. We will be visited by fear. But it doesn't have to take up residence in our heart and our lives on a regular basis. We can tell it to go. In John 10, Jesus' words of eternal life and security comfort us. They strengthen us. They give us hope. No matter what happens, we will never have to fear being separated from God for eternity. No one can snatch us out of the Father's hand, not even our own failures and sin. When you know Jesus, you are safe and secure in him. And I believe that that's the case even when we can tend to wander. Romans 8, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, I like that. So let's be honest here today. We are not as self-sufficient as we would like to be or have others think that we are. Please notice that Jesus doesn't call us lions. We sang about lions, but it was God who was the lion. He calls us sheep. We are weak and vulnerable, and we need a shepherd. You do, and so do I. And so Jesus is our shepherd who saves us, who loves us, who leads us, who sticks with us. And gives us a great life now and an amazing life forever. And all that he asks is that we love him back and follow him. Well, I don't know how your following is going these days, but I do know all of us can do better. All of us can draw closer than we are right now to Jesus, our shepherd, who laid down his life for us, which we're going to remember now as we come to communion. So let's prepare our hearts. Prepare our hearts to partake in communion and the Lord's Supper through confession of sin, through silent prayer. Let's just take a minute in silent prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our shepherd. But the Bible also says, and we even sang about it, you are the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. You loved us so much that you laid down your life for us. We are grateful today as we come to this table and we remember all that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, that as we come before you, and we need to come before you often, not just once a month in communion or even once a week in worship, but every day, that when we do fail, when we don't live up to that standard that you've called us to live up to, you are gracious and you are good and you are God, and you say if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, even when there are times that in our heart of hearts we stray, Yet, Jesus, you go after the one lost lamb. The 99 are safe and okay, but you go after the lost one to bring them back. And I'm sure there are times you have done that with each one of us. So today, as we come to this table, we thank you and we praise you for all that you have done for us, for giving us life and hope now and forever. And we are telling you, we need a shepherd, and we want you to be our shepherd now and always. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he did take the bread. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you." And in the same manner, he took the cup. To this cup of the new covenant is my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of all your sins. I'm going to ask the servers to come forward at this time. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body. We thank you for you dying on the cross for us, that not only did you go to the cross to take our sins with you, you went to the cross to take us with you, so that we might die to sin and die to the power of sin in our lives and be set free. And you said, we will know the truth and the truth will set you free. As we take this bread today, help us to celebrate that freedom through the cross. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.